Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Welcome in to the summer season premiere of Slapshot Radio on Nashville's best sports talk, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. Well, boys, we made it. Camp is open and hopes are high that we'll complete the 2019-2020 season. We're going to break it all down tonight. We're also going to talk with a TV color analyst for the St. Louis Blues and NBC Sports, the one and only Darren Pang. It's all brought to you by Day One sponsor, Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry, the largest wine and spirit store in Middle Tennessee, Cool Springs Wines and Spirits, and of course our good friends at Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries Nashville with three locally owned and operated locations in Middle Tennessee. I'm Paul McCann. With us as always, our co-host, former NHL coach and player, Brent Peterson. Coach, how many holes we get in today?
Only 18 today?
It wasn't that hot out.
I had to get downtown to watch the practice.
Oh, okay. Good enough. Well, you wanted to get into the air conditioning.
Hockey back.
Absolutely. And the host of the Preds Watch Party, Zach McCann. Zach, we actually made it.
I mean, you know, I don't want to jinx it or anything, but boy, seeing clips come out of Bridgestone Arena and seeing people on the ice, it was definitely, it was a feeling. It was just, it felt good to be able to see that. It's been weird in July, obviously, but boy, getting a little shot of normalcy as a treat was pretty nice.
No question about that. I mean, it's like, okay, the boys are back. You know, you've got Thin Lizzy playing in the background all day. And interesting to look at the official roster announced today with some interesting names on it. And guys, I think we have a new euphemism. Okay, we've got the lower body injury.
Mm-hmm.
We've got the upper body injury. And now we have the unfit to play designation.
It really was the next logical progression. You couldn't just go body injury, and just saying injury just feels a little disingenuous. So unfit to play, I think, is one of the most hockey things of all time. And you see a lot of people getting frustrated. Well, why don't they just, you know, say this and that? Because of the new CBA and the return to play format that was ratified by both the players and general managers and owners, they are not allowed to disclose that kind of information. So unfit to play is unfortunately all you're going to get, because you are unfit to know.
And the reality is this. I mean, you know, those of us in business, we're all familiar with the, with HIPAA regulations, that you can't really discuss that. And I mean, look, let's face it, a hockey player should have that same privacy,
sure.
Right? I mean, you know, so I'm okay with that. But but I tell you what, when you look at, I mean, and for those that don't know, the only player on the Nashville Predators that was listed as an unfit to play is Yakov Trenin. And but he is on the roster, which to me indicates something. That indicates that, you know, he may be, you know, on that list. But
soon he will be fit to play.
If you don't expect him to be able to play, why waste a roster spot on him?
That's right. And he's been very good. He was very good down the stretch. He's a big guy, and we need big guys that can skate and punish people. And I really liked him. We all wanted him back in the lineup, and he was hurt. He must have been hurt or something, or maybe he's got hurt training or something, and he's unfit to play. You know, that unfit to play sounds like a guy.
It doesn't sound good.
That sounds good. It sounds like a guy's not good enough to play. You know?
Yeah, we need another. That one just doesn't feel good.
It doesn't feel good.
Calling it UTP sounds even weirder.
UBI, LBI, you know, all of that stuff. But when you, again, you look at the team and Zach, just by, you know, looking at today, looking at the opening, I know that you were tweeting gleefully about this most of the afternoon. The thing that has made you most happy today?
Oh, I mean, I think just seeing hockey. That was probably the happiest thing.
Yeah, but
I mean, I'll be honest. I'm not sure where you're leading me here. It's been a long day.
You know where I'm talking. I'm surprised that he doesn't have Jofa tattooed across his forehead.
Oh, gosh,
right now.
Jofa line was back gracious, together. Yeah.
Whether it was for one practice or the rest of the time, but at least he's given it a try. And they're I watched all the games they played last year on this when Fox did all the things
right.
on Tuesday, Thursdays. They were dominant back in the
2017 playoffs.
Oh, they were absolutely dominant till Johansson got hurt.
I guess Coach Hines must have been watching the moments as well.
Exactly. So. But he put them back together today, and he's got the Granlund and Turris and
Duchesne
on the next line. Mm-hmm. Then he's got Bedino's line. He left them together. Then he's got a fourth line of mix if he can mix anything in there.
Well, the interesting story is having Sissons and Yossi not skating today. Not sure what's going on there right now. But I mean, obviously having that, you had Michael McCarron in place for presumably Colton Sissons' spot.
Blackwell was out there too with them. They sort of had a bunch
Michael
of
McCarron is an interesting story.
He's 6'6". He's huge out there.
6'6", 230.
He gets around the ice pretty good.
I mean, an interesting pickup, ended up last year split between Laval and Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, when you look at, McCarron, there is certainly some size you add on to there. And I'm sorry, but in the playoffs, size is something that this team has missed a lot. And that was the other thing that I noticed, the judicious use of players like Cody McLeod. Mm-hmm. In that 2017 run.
Yeah, Peter did a good job of that.
I mean, exactly, because it
anybody was... came through for him, didn't they?
Exactly. And when you look at that, I mean, that size, that attitude, that nastiness, you need, this is the old Broad Street Bully in me coming out. You got to have that little bit of, as Crispy would say, you got to have a little piss and vinegar in there.
When they paused, it was Tenorti and Holzer on the back end of the third unit, and they played very well, I thought. They weren't giving up the puck, and they were doing a good job, so I thought they were two big guys that were
shocked at that, actually. I know.
Yeah, the only thing that gives me pause about a player like Michael McCarron, who, of course, was picked up earlier this year for an exchange for Laurent Dauphin. He was traded from the Canadiens. But if you look at Arizona, who they're playing, that is a young, speedy, fast team.
Sure.
And that's what gives me pause about putting players who are, maybe a touch slower out there. That's the only thing that concerns me about it. I mean, hey, I'll give anyone a chance to see.
Do you think
he sees the ice? No.
I don't see it right now. But again, having that size in the gun, you may not need it in round, in the qualifying round.
Yeah, maybe not. But
but you may need it if you run into a St. Louis, if you run into a Dallas.
Well, and that's why they need Trenton, too. And
exactly.
So hopefully he's just a short-term injury and he can be back because we need him. He was great with the puck. He skated hard. He hit bodies. And Mr. Chara didn't know what to do when he got it.
No kidding about that.
So now, the player who I think I was most pleasantly surprised to see on this roster was none other than 2019 first-round pick of the Nashville Predators, one of the first times I've ever seen on a roster in 01 birth year, which makes me feel real old there. Philip Tomasino making the roster for the return-to-play format.
Skated with the Black Aces at 9 a.m. This morning. Didn't skate with the big team, but... I mean, yes, you love seeing a player like this, a point and a half per game player in juniors this year, getting his first taste of the NHL. And coach, as a coach, when you have a player like that, when you bring him in for the Black Aces like this, you don't really expect to use him. It's more of a experience, this is what it's like, kid, kind of thing.
Yeah, it's the whole experience for him. To see how Yossi and these guys are off the ice, to kind of how they take care of the kids and they make sure that they're involved in everything, and that's what's the key. They do it the Predator way, and if they don't, they have to make sure that they come and they have a good attitude, and he's got a great attitude, and he's following around the veterans, and they're doing the right things for him to show. Teach guys how to play the game.
I mean, you can make the argument that on this roster is probably the future second, if not first line of the Nashville Predators of Ellie Tolvanen, Rem Pitlick, and Philip Tomasino.
Okay, who had 8 minutes and 5 seconds before Ellie Tolvanen was
Hey, we did pretty good.
I think Elijah had it. I think Elijah picked the under, and he was right there.
Money in my pocket,
there
man.
It is. There
Money
it is.
Money in my pocket.
But again, that's the one, and it's interesting that Tolvanen has taken that you know, third or fourth spot in what we're talking about here. But this is a player I think we see in this lineup in this playoff run.
It depends on if
health.
It's health. I think if a top sixer gets hurt, you see Elli Tolvanen.
I think if a top nine gets hurt, especially
with the way the Preds use their third line, yes.
I could see a Tolvanen should Craig Smith encounter some difficulty. I could see Tolvanen going in there, because if you watched the last probably 7 to 10 games from the Admirals this last year, Elli Tolvanen was a force in those games, and it was one of those ones that you really hated to have the AHL season end where it did, because Tolvanen was really rounding it in. We heard from Scotty Nickel right towards then how he was really becoming a complete player. It's a shame he didn't have that playoff, that playoff experience, that Calder Cup experience in the AHL. But I just, he's got Olympic experience. I think we're going to see number 28 out there at some point during this playoff run, especially, get in a round or two. I think you see him in this lineup.
I think it's certainly possible. Another name that I was pleasantly surprised to see, Jeremy Davies on the defensive roster.
You know what? I like seeing him out. I like seeing him on that roster, too. I've always been impressed with him at the at the last couple of rookie camps. He's always a player that I've seen that has kind of drawn my eye. Mm-hmm. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there. Well, you know what? This is season 12 and a half. I guess 13.5.
Time has been a meaning.
Something like that, exactly. Of Slapshot Radio, our summer season premiere. We are taking you all the way through the NHL draft in October. Yes, we're going to do it. What the heck? Why not? So, you know how we can do it? It's because of our day one sponsor. Our day one sponsor of this show, the premier sponsor of Slapshot Radio, Doctors Jane Bacon and Aileen Kruger over at Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry. Boy, what a great staff, comfortable environment. I'm telling you, they do make it really, really easy to get your dental needs taken care of. And not only do they make it easy, they also make it safe. You know what? You got to get over and see them. Taking care of your teeth is important, even in times like these. Check out their website at WeBrightonSmiles.com or call an affirmative appointment at 615-872-7762. That's 615-872-7762. Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry. We Brighten Smiles. You know, if you ever wonder if Elijah is listening or not, he is. Slapshot Radio on ESPN 102.5, The Game, streaming live on the Game Nashville app. And, I'm excited. We haven't talked to this gentleman in quite a while. He is between the crease. He is the man ringside for St. Louis Blues broadcast. You see him on NBC Sports. I mean, he's everywhere. He is the one and only Darren Pang, and he's with us on Slapshot Radio. Darren, thanks so much for joining us tonight.
Well, thanks for having me on. I appreciate that, and right now, I'm like everybody else. I'm nowhere. just having a little bit of fun and keeping everything nice and quiet and getting ready for the playoffs. I'm excited like you guys are excited about it.
So now for the St. Louis broadcast, I mean, I know there's been discussions all over the place. You guys are going to be doing it from screens in St. Louis, right? You're not going to be on site, right?
That is exactly right. From what I understand, NBC is the rights holder, will be the world feed. In both Toronto and in Edmonton. Mm-hmm. I know for all of us on the local side, your Fox Sports and our Fox Sports, and we're going to be at a studio there in St. Louis. So John Kelly and I will have the call, and Bernie Federko and Scott Worman will have the in-between periods analysis, like always. It'll be a little bit different just because, our plans right now are to have a pretty big size screen TV, and I would have an isolated monitor on my side, and I think we have one camera that will be exclusive to our director and producer, so that if I do want to tell a story about something that Jordan Binnington has done on a whistle, I can actually have, our camera will shoot him, and at least you can tell the story instead of, trying to catch up to what's on TV and have your director and your producer going crazy, because it ends up being, no offense, but it ended up being radio on TV. And guys that are producers and directors, they just want to know where you're heading, what you're doing, and I think that'll make it at least a little bit easier to tell a story or two along the way.
So you're not going to see any kind of like the poor English Premier League guys that have no idea what replays are coming, and they're telling a story about one guy and they're showing replays of the other guy. So, but I mean, and I love EPL, yes. Don't get me wrong, but yes, that's got to be tough on there. We're with Darren Pang on Slapshot Radio. Coach Peterson, you got something for the Panger?
Hey, Panger, how you doing? It's good to hear from you.
I'm doing good, Petey. I'm doing very well. How you doing? How you feeling? You playing any golf?
I'm playing only 6 days a week I play. I take Sunday off, so.
Good for you. Last time we played, you gave a little exhibition out there. You were terrific.
Yeah, right.
Always love playing with you.
Thank you. Have you ever done a game like that from far away on a TV? Have you ever done that before?
You know what, Petey? I was, in my time as a broadcaster, I've been lucky enough to work for a number of different companies, and I did some world championships with TSN, and I was asked to do a game early on. It was one of the preliminary games. I was in studio already to be between periods as the analyst in Toronto on TSN, and so I was able to actually do a couple of games that way. And it's not very easy to do. I understand that, but I think that when you understand that. You need to have a little bit more energy, and as you guys well know, I'm full of vinegar. So the energy part isn't the hard part for me, but I think that's very important to make sure that you're not drowned out by the atmosphere that you're in. And you are right. The first question about you're talking about Premier League soccer. I think it's very important just to hold off on something before you see the replay. I'll do my best to talk to the guys that are doing the game, and most of the producers. I know, and if I know the analyst, let's say for NBC that's going to be the main analyst, and I know him well. For example, I talked to Eddie Olczyk about a half an hour ago for a long time, and if I knew that Eddie was doing the game, I would get a pretty good sense of where he would be going, and so I would wait things out for a second and buy some time before jumping into something that might be totally irrelevant so that our audience isn't confused. So this is going to be our biggest test. I think for all of us local broadcasters, it's going to be our biggest test, radio and TV. And it's going to be imperative that we shine in these moments because it is unprecedented, but our fans are going to want something. The local fans are going to want something that's different than the national broadcasters give you. So I know we're going to be tested, but I know we're all going to do a real good job.
It's Slapshot Radio on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Zach?
Now, Panger, I'm going to give you a chance to kind of stack the pads, as it were, here. Being a former goaltender, who are your top three goalies to watch during this return-to-play format playoff series that we've got going on?
Wow, that's a good question because we have so many great goaltenders. So I'll start. You know what? I'll start with the East. Just in saying that, what team in the East with their goaltender can upset the fifth, sixth, seventh, or eighth-ranked team? So I'll start with Montreal, Carey Price. So I'll go with Carey right off the hop. I mean, can he beat the Pittsburgh Penguins? Can the Montreal Canadiens upset them? I mean, with Carey Price, they have that opportunity. Other teams, the Panthers are number 10. I thought they were going to be a playoff team. So I was disappointed that they were number 10, going into COVID. But Bobrovsky could certainly end up beating the New York Islanders with the team and the goaltender that he is. I'll slide over to the other side. It seems like the Blackhawks didn't have their main goalie, Corey Crawford, today. Mike Smith's always interesting to watch because he can put on a show. Maybe not for a seven-game series, but a best of five. I believe that Mike Smith can win a series. You guys know what I think about Pekka Rinne and your goaltending and UC. I think they're outstanding. I'm not sure which way you're going to head to, but I think the goaltending aspect of Nashville has the edge over the Coyotes, even though Kemper had a great year. I think he's a rhythmic goaltender, and I think it's hard to just jump into something like this and have that quick pulse to get things going energy-wise because it's not going to be perfect. Connor Hellebuyck would be the other guy I'd be looking at. I thought he had a great year, fellas. I thought Hellebuyck was outstanding with the Winnipeg Jets, especially after losing the way they lost against the St. Louis Blues last year. And so I like Connor. And the other guy, of course, I see him all the time, and that's Jordan Binnington, and he really impresses me with his calmness and his fire and his big save ability. So I do like watching the defending champs, no matter who they are. I like to see how they respond and how their goaltender plays because the pressure is on the defending champs, in my opinion.
Man, when you look at this, talk about, again, the word unprecedented gets thrown around like crazy, but in this case, I mean, you've got 24 teams returning, and I mean, the injuries are almost non-existent. I mean, this is going to be the first playoffs, I think, in National Hockey League history where you're going to see this level of health from the players, assuming that they get into the bubble safely. But, I mean, you know,
good point.
The level of health of these teams is just unbelievable right now, especially after having a 3 or 4, you know, a 3 month break after the grind of a season.
Yeah, no, Paul, you are right. I mean, health for sure. I mean, guys, like, for example, I keep close tabs, obviously, on St. Louis. I'm there all the time. I left to come to Michigan to my little house, my lake house here, for a little bit to get away from everything, but I still keep tabs on it and I text him and see how he's doing. But look at Vladdy Tarasenko. I mean, you guys didn't see him.
Yep.
I mean, after October the 20th, he was non-existent in the league, and he comes back as a healthy player. It's like making a trade at the deadline, and not only healthy, but just so eager to come back. And he probably have a little bit more, you know, just not fire in his belly, but just a little bit more. I got to get going really quick. So I think a player like that would be a player out of the gates. Jake Guentzel would be the same kind of thing. Players like that that have been banged up for an extended period of time. And let's face it, the Columbus Blue Jackets, I was so impressed with what they did with all the injuries that they had, and now they've got all their players back and they're ready to go. So I think a lot of coaches would say the same thing. And John Hines would say the same thing as I'm sure that Craig Berube. You need to have 5 lines. If you have the depth, if you have 8 NHL defensemen, and if you have 2 high-end quality goaltenders, and you've got, you know, you've got 5 lines, then you're going to have a really good chance. Because let's face it, something might happen, whether somebody tests positive and can't perform for a couple of days. You're going to need NHL players, not American League players. You need NHL players to jump in there. And they need to jump in there and be impactful. And that's one of the things I saw last year from the Blues, that they had 5 lines. They can only play 4, obviously, but their 4th line was every bit as good as their top line on almost every single night. So when you have that kind of depth and that kind of health, then you're going to be in good shape and you're going to be competitive, whether it's the best of 5 or whether it's into the playoff rounds of a best of 7.
That is Darren Pang from Fox Sports Midwest and the St. Louis Blues, between basically behind the glass, kind of. He's right there between the benches. That's a, you know, real quick, I know I'm up against a break, but you hear some interesting stuff in between the glass, don't you?
Oh, goodness, yes. I mean, I love being between the benches for that reason. And there's been some stuff that I can say and some stuff that I can't say. And I know we're in it for time, but like Steve Ott was a player for the Blues, and he said so many things that at one point he told Paul Maurice of the Winnipeg Jets in between the bench. He told Paul Maurice, he said, "Paul, I know you're a Canadian team. You might not have the kind of money, but this player can't play. He should be bought out. And if you can't buy him out, I'll buy him out. I've got enough money in the bank." And it was hilarious because
wow.
Poor Paul Maurice is looking at his poor player going, "I can't believe, Otter, you're putting me on the spot like this." Anyway, so there's been so many great, great comebacks and great go-betweens that I love it for that reason.
We're gonna have to get him back. Darren, we're gonna have to get you back on just to talk about some of those things, and of course we will clean them up because this is a family radio show. But but Darren,
I picked the cleanest.
Thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. Enjoy your lake house, and we look forward to hearing you in just a couple of weeks as we crank this back up.
Sounds good. You guys be safe, and look forward to the playoff run, fellas. Take care.
Hit him straight, Panger.
You got it, Petey. You too, pal.
Darren Pang for Fox Sports Midwest and the St. Louis Blues broadcast. He's a color analyst for Fox Sports, and you also hear him on NBC. You see him on TSN. He's everywhere when it comes to hockey, and we certainly appreciate him joining us. Hey, we'll be right back. We're going to talk about a couple of other things. We want to talk a little bit about the new CBA, and I want to get these guys' take in on pumping in the crowd noise. You know, after all, we're famous for that, according to Pittsburgh writers. We will be more than happy to have that discussion coming up next right here on Slapshot Radio, ESPN 102.5 The Game. You kind of knew that one was coming. Slapshot Radio, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Training camp is open. It's a new definition of summer camp going on right now. You know what? And I will tell you, I've heard Brian Burke talk about this, and I am a huge fan of this idea of moving hockey from the Winter Olympics to the Summer Olympics? Brian Burke talks about it all the time. Instead of breaking the NHL season in half, you move it to the summer.
Well,
and play it there.
It is funny you bring up the Olympics, because part of the newly ratified CBA is that the NHL will be returning to the Olympics.
How about that?
Which, boy, I mean, you gotta give Gary Bettman credit. He took something that was basically a guarantee, considering the NHL's vested interest in China, and turned it into a concession for the league to do something that was in their best interest anyway, to go back to the NHL. So savvy moves from the commish on that one, for sure.
You know what? And again, it's so funny, because it is you know, popular to, you know, boo the commissioner and all that kind of good stuff. But you know what? I look at, you know, the cooperation. I'm sorry. I have never seen a commissioner be able to negotiate with Donald Fehr like Gary Bettman has been able to do.
Oh, he's been terrific. He's done a great job for the owners, and he's just done a terrific job.
You know, I think he's done a great job for the game.
For the game.
I really do.
That's right. And the owners employ him. That's his boss.
Mm-hmm.
But he's done a great job at negotiations. He's held out when he's had to. He's stuck up for the right people and the right things. I just think he's done a great job, and that's not just blowing smoke, because I really believe that he's done a good job for the whole NHL.
I think
sure.
He has. Yep. I mean, when you look at you look at the negotiation, and here's what happened. I mean, you not only negotiated a return to play, that where the players got a few things that they really wanted. They wanted to opt out with no penalties. You know, there was a lot of things that they wanted to have happen in this, and they got. They wanted to go back to the Olympics. They got it. But the thing I was most impressed with this entire CBA, was that both sides understood that the world has changed. Mm-hmm. You didn't see that in the negotiations in Major League Baseball. You didn't see that as it went through.
You're not seeing it for the ongoing negotiations for the NFL right now, talking about holding 35% of player salaries in escrow for this year.
And you know what? That may not be enough.
Yeah.
And that's what they were threatening to do to the NHL, and that's why the players wanted to play and the owners wanted to play, so they got together and they like you said, Donald Fehr he's been a
thorn in baseball's side forever. He was. I mean, you know, no question.
It's completely different than baseball.
Right.
They got the thing done, and then baseball got down to 60 games of all things. That's like the NHL playing like 12 games. Like they play so many games. So it was crazy. But the owners knew they had to play. The players knew they had to play. So let's go work it out. And they worked it out. Whereas the baseball guys, I know they got it done finally, but it was ridiculous, some of the things the guys were doing on.
I look at it, and you got to give them credit. And when you look at the CBA, another 6 seasons extended on there.
Right.
And not only that, there's a 7th season that is a potential on that. And quite frankly, I think it's almost likely.
I mean, at this rate, you think.
I mean, because, I mean, look, the league has to return to, is it $4.8 billion, I think, in revenue, mm-hmm. in hockey-related revenue. It has to return to $4.8 billion. That's going to be tough in a gate-driven league like the National Hockey League. And not knowing what the gates are going to look like.
Well, that's what the cap is based off of, is
right.
That return to revenue, if the league can hit that. And yes, I know that sound I heard was millions of people turning off their radios as we talk about this sort of thing right now. But at the same time, it is important, because that's going to determine how many people your teams are going to be able to sign right now.
Yep.
Flat cap for next year and the following year, and then it can rise a little bit depending on the revenue of the league.
Exactly.
All depends on that for how many guys you get for free agents. Mm-hmm. You can't go to the top guy. You got to get the second level guy if you don't have any cap space. And
yep.
There's so much to do with it. So you just have to make sure that your teams the general managers really have to do a good job of managing their teams and that, and making sure they're ready for that salary cap.
So the interesting thing here, you've got the training camps open today. Mm-hmm. 13 days from today, next Sunday, is travel to the Hub City. 28th, 29th, 30th, there's going to be at least a couple of exhibition games inside that time. And then August 1, the qualifying round begins. Predators are in action on August 2. It's a Sunday. Not sure what slot they will have in there. But then that round will be done by August 9th. I mean, that's just unbelievable to think
that
round's done.
Having a back-to-back in the midst of it.
Yes.
That's the really fascinating
thing.
We
used to play four games in five nights. Every first playoff series, four games in five nights. Wow. And then if you had a fifth game, yep, you added it to it. But now, so one back-to-back's not going to hurt anybody.
Well, I mean, but it will bring up some interesting conundrums that we will certainly delve into the closer we get to it. Then August 10th, that is phase two of the NHL draft lottery. Get out your slide rules. Here it comes. No, actually, this one is actually real easy. It's like, you know what? 10 balls, someone gets picked.
Yep.
Or eight balls, someone gets picked. And the eight losers of the opening rounds get their shot at Alexei Lafreniere, and the first pick in the draft. Then the first round will begin on the 11th. The second round should begin on or about August 25th. The third round, the conference finals will begin on September 8th. Stanley Cup final looks like it's going to get started on September 22nd, and the last possible day of the Stanley Cup finals will be October 4th. October 9th and 10th will be the NHL draft.
Wow.
Then the offseason goes until November 22nd, I think it is, something like that, where all the teams will be opening up, and first day of the next season of the 2021 season, December 1st.
Wow.
It's going to take a couple of years to get back to the
take a month every year and you'll get back there.
Yeah, you'll get back there in a couple of years. But, I mean, so it's aggressive.
Yeah.
It's exciting to think about.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, let's face it, gang, it's also disquieting. I mean, I look at this and go, I think one of the biggest mistakes that the MLS made was not getting their players in the bubble earlier.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe that last week.
Well, you're already seeing an issue right now with the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Yeah, nine players that have been exposed, not necessarily diagnosed, but have been exposed and are in quarantine.
And this is something that I think you can actually take to heart as a good thing for the NHL.
Yes.
The fact that they are doing contact tracing of this level shows how serious they are about taking this seriously. Like, it did my heart good to hear that. Not obviously that they had been exposed, but
no,
to say, we're going to do this out of the abundance of caution. We're going to go ahead and quarantine them for a little while and see how that shakes out. That gives me a little bit of confidence that, hey, they might just pull this darn thing off.
They could. I mean, but I'd love to see it in the bubble a little bit earlier. And the only reason I say that is you look at what happened, you know, with Dallas FC, you look at what happened with Nashville SC. I mean, unfortunately, it just broke at the wrong time. And, I mean, they've already had one game, you know, another game canceled because of, you know, an outbreak amongst the two teams with DC United last night.
Well, I mean, not only that, you're starting to see it already in the NBA with players breaking the bubble, with, you know, that sort of thing happening as well. You do have to keep in mind these guys are human, and a lot of them are young and have way too much money. And
young
used to
young
being
and single
new.
And loves to mingle. That's
How about them complaining about the food and the accommodations and that? They're just complaining about everything, aren't they?
Disney World, for heaven's sake.
NBA guys are great guys. They're
you know, but it is funny. But yes, you know, with that going on, and I'm sorry. I mean, you know, I hear that and immediately, you know, flashback about four seasons ago and go, oh God, we're playing Arizona again. At least I don't know. Does anyone on the team like Fireball?
I don't know.
Anyway, it's. You know, it's just getting started here, gang. We are just getting this started. It was nice to see the team together today on the ice at Bridgestone Arena. And Bridgestone Arena is locked down, man. It's funny because we were going to be doing some game operation stuff, and nope, no access. Can't get in, which I'm glad. It's like, let's keep this thing as hermetically sealed as humanly possible. And I do want to talk about an issue I talked about a little bit. In the next segment, we're going to talk about pumping in the crowd noise. Let's talk about that. Let's see what Brent and Zach think about that as we come right back right here on Slapshot Radio, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Slapshot Radio, ESPN 102.5 The Game. It's the summer season premiere. We're taking you all the way through the NHL draft, UFA day, the whole nine yards into late October. That would normally when we would be starting the season, then we'll take a few weeks off and then get right back into it. I mean, you know what? We might as well start just the heck with it. Why even take the summer off anymore?
You know.
Anyway, let's talk a little bit. You know, it's been fascinating. I brought up the English Premier League, and I brought up the MLS earlier today because, you know, obviously the two of the first, you know, major pro leagues to get back to it. And it's really interesting that I'll give NBC Sportsnet all kinds of credit. They're pumping in crowd noise for the English Premier League games. And you know what? You forget there isn't a crowd there. You watch the game, and it's like, oh, you know, and the crowd kind of gets louder when something good happens and doesn't when, you know, when something bad happens or if the opponent scores or whatever. And, I mean, compare that to the MLS. The MLS is back tournament on ESPN, and first off, the production values, NBC Sportsnet's killing them. But the second thing is, it's dead quiet. You know, it is interesting because they are on the you know, they're on the 7 second delay button a lot. But I mean, it's interesting to hear the coaches yell at the players occasionally. But there's a real difference in why, and I've looked forward to watching some MLS games. And it just isn't as much fun as the EPL ones.
I mean, that's because that one of the most important characters in any sports
event
are the fans. Mm-hmm. That's what makes it for people. Otherwise, I mean, like, you know, what's the one thing when you're a kid and you're playing sports outside, you know? Oh, and the crowd goes wild. I mean, that's what you're always doing it for. Like, let's be honest. Most people who are doing most anything is for attention, and athletes aren't exactly exempt from that either. So when you have this kind of situation, any kind of performance, whether it's athletic or, you know, entertainment-driven or otherwise, is based off that symbiotic energy that you get from the crowd. And if you don't have that, then it doesn't feel as real. So to do something like that for the players, to at least give them some kind of facsimile that makes it at least have a degree of normalcy. Yeah. To
Zach just used symbiotic and facsimile in the same sentence. And
you paid a lot for that
so
education.
I'm telling
there,
you, I did.
So I'm not educated.
Thank
then,
you, Father
so
Ryan.
I'm not the educated one. So what are they going to do then to help the what exactly is
I mean, there? I've had some discussions with Ben Bossy over at, you know, who's the VP of game presentation and event presentation for the Predators. And we've had some discussions where we're going to be doing some recording and doing some things. I know they're going to be bringing some of Smashville into Edmonton. You know, most of the
is
most
every
of the
team
graphics,
do this?
From what I understand, yes, every team has this option.
Okay.
And you know, I feel bad for the technical guys in Edmonton right now because they're having to render and redo God knows everything because every rink has its own system. So it's you know, I kind of feel sorry for them because they're everyone has to transition. Whatever. I mean, ours is actually one of the more advanced ones, and Edmonton isn't too far behind, so there shouldn't be too much of a difference with the new, you know, with the new control booth that was put in just a year and a half ago, the new Megatron, all that stuff with the, you know, with Fang Vision. Good heavens, it's been 4 months and I've almost forgot the name of the Megatron with Fang Vision there. So, I mean, when you look at this, I think it's going to be fun. There will be elements of Smashville in the game. It wouldn't surprise me to hear a goalie chant or two. It wouldn't surprise me to hear a couple of other things in there. So it's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to doing the recordings and seeing what we come up with.
Well, my friend of mine asked me yesterday, who's going to win? He always asked me, who's going to win the Stanley Cup before it starts? And I said, this year I said, Florida's going to win for sure. He said, Florida? That's a bad pick. I says, no, they're used to playing in front of nobody, so they'll have their best.
Oh, that's cold. That's cold, Brent.
I thought it was pretty good.
It's true, no, it's but it's cold. But, I mean, you know, you look at there are, but I like the idea. I mean, you know, look, the fans are not there. And, you know, and even with what's being discussed right now, I mean, the NFL's trying to figure out if they can do fans. I know most every team has three scenarios, you know, no distancing whatsoever and just opening the gates, social distancing, or no fans. And again, I think the NFL could, you know, the NFL is not exactly a gate-driven league. The NFL is a TV money league,
right on.
No question about it. Yeah. So it's not near as critical to the survival of the league to have fans in the stands. And obviously, by sometimes some of their, you know, I've seen some of the game presentations, and they honestly really don't seem to care that much about it because, I mean, you know, I mean, it's the game and that's it.
Couldn't we at Bridgestone sit somebody every five or six seats, and make you'd have to have people making sure they sat in those in their seats they bought for. But
yeah.
you could still get 10,000 people in there, or nine, no, maybe eight.
Probably eight. More like 6 to 7.
That'd be better than nothing.
But you look at, I mean, you know, Miami's already gotten their, go put for, their plan out.
Yeah, you got to go for. Restrooms, and that's where you'd run into.
That's where your problems come.
Here's the hard thing,
not just sitting
too.
Down.
And, you know, this is kind of a bleak outlook on it, but do you really trust people to adhere
no,
to that?
I don't. And as that, soon as we went
unfortunately,
to,
that's yeah, correct.
As soon as we went to phase three in Brentwood
yeah.
and Franklin, everybody was out partying and doing things on the weekends and getting together and dancing and everything downtown. And they just went crazy. Instead of staying, nobody was 6 feet apart. They were laying on top of each other on the beaches. Of
that's why the numbers are what they are right now.
That's right.
So, I mean, you know, it is funny because you're seeing football fans now all over Twitter going, you want football? Wear a mask!
Yep.
It's like, and you know what? Right. Not necessarily, you know, not necessarily off kilter there that much. But let's get back to this. So, they get into the bubble, okay, and hopefully get in with limited exposures with limited infections. I mean, you know, Brent, you know that the Edmonton area there. I mean, is everything like just nice and close enough that they can keep a nice secure area?
It's going to be hard because they have multiple hotels,
right?
So one team will have to go maybe 5 minutes away, 10 minutes away, but the other, they're right at the Rogers Center there in Edmonton is a Marriott.
Well, they've actually announced the hotel accommodations.
Okay.
It's going to be four hotels,
yeah,
two in each city, and you're going to have, at least for the Edmonton side of things, the Predators will be at the JW Marriott with the Blues, the Avalanche, the Golden Knights, the Dallas Stars, the Edmonton Oilers.
Yeah, they just got it in by the skin of their teeth.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the best one to be at because you can walk to the rink and it's right there and built in right there.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to get in a bus and go somewhere or do something. You can't go out and walk in for a walk or anything.
Nope.
So you just have to the bubble's right there for your team. And like you said, there's only two hotels.
Yeah, I did find it interesting that you had the top six seeds at one hotel and the bottom six seeds at the other hotel.
Right. Wait a minute, are they at like the Motel 6? Or I mean, just you know.
I don't want to disparage the Sutton place in Edmonton. I'm sure it's nice.
Yeah,
but
it's no JW, but it's nice.
That's pretty funny. It is pretty funny. The top six seeds get this. Oh, and by the way, you guys, we got cots for you over here.
Whereas in Toronto, you have the top five seeds at the Hotel X in Toronto.
Ew.
And then the bottom seven at the Royal York. So
well. So
it's right, your hub for hotel information here on Slapshot Radio.
I'm gonna bring this up as well because it's funny. I distinctly remember this being an announcement early on, and then it kind of disappeared. And that was a team couldn't play in its home rink. That was one of the original things that was discussed, and it just kind of went away after a little while. Coach, I'm gonna ask you. Is there any advantage to the Edmonton Oilers and the Toronto Maple Leafs playing on their home ice?
There is a little bit of an advantage because you're familiar with the atmosphere and everything that's going to go on there. But I don't think after one game, I think you'll be out of it and they'll be fine. And I think they just play. I mean, the guys look great today. There was nobody in the stands. I watched practice and they were flying up and down the ice. They had energy and they had a great practice. And they can have just as good games. But because the other thing, too, is most teams win more games in the playoffs on the road than they do at home.
True.
Most of the time. So I don't think it's going to bother any good team that can play the game and know what they're doing and be exactly. Sometimes you play better on the road because you try to do too much at home. The fans aren't there, but you try to be too fancy and too right.
I think we've seen that.
Yeah, and then like St. Louis won three or two game sevens last
on
year
road.
On the road
mm-hmm.
to win the Stanley Cup. And we won all our games on. We started every time on the road in 17.
And
we started every game on the road, and we won three series. We lost one at the very end, and we started on the road every series. So I don't think it's going to be a big deal.
Well, we're close. We're close. Training camp is now open, and we're back next Monday night. We're going to break down the first round for you. Thanks for joining us on Slapshot Radio. We're back next week, 7 p.m. A big thank you to Darren Pang from Fox Sports Miss West for joining us tonight. Of course, a big thank you to our sponsors, Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry, Cool Springs Wines and Spirits, and Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries. When you visit one of our sponsors, make sure you tell them you heard about them on Slapshot Radio and thank them for their support. For our producer, Elijah, our co-host, Brent Peterson, and Zach McCann, I'm Paul McCann saying good night and good hockey.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.